From Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18. Then Peter came up to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? Jesus said, I say to you seven times, but 70 times seven. And watch out after that. Not too fond of that text. 70 times seven seems like a lot. Well, something good happened to me this week. Doesn't always happen, once or twice a year maybe, but I got a note saying that, in fact, a piece of research we'd submitted for publication consideration is going to be published in another 6-8 months or so. Another piece of collective wisdom from the body art team at Texas Tech University will be in print. That's kind of nice. I like it when I get notes like that. And this particular article has to do with the relationship between body art, tattoos and piercings, and deviant behavior. The literature on that is sort of mixed. On one hand, people with body adornment or body modification tend to be edgy. They tend to be on the edge of society. And yet it's becoming more mainstream too. We're seeing tattoos especially used in advertisements for CDs and iPods and all the things that are part of mainstream American capitalist culture. And in fact, we've noticed in some of our other work that a tattoo here, or maybe one there, a couple of piercings, doesn't seem to connect or indicate that that person is also more likely to drink heavily or use illegal drugs or have been arrested more than once. Well, it turns out that there's a threshold of impact for body art, and that's what this latest piece seems to indicate, that 4 or more tattoos or 7 or more piercings seems to be a threshold of impact. That once one's relationship with body modification reaches that threshold, there's anywhere from a 2 to 10 times greater likelihood that folks with 4 or more tattoos or 7 or more piercings are likely to have multiple sex partners, use illegal drugs, drink heavily, or be involved in problems with the law. So there's this threshold of impact. And I think if you take the logic of that and sort of turn it inside out, you have what Jesus is getting at in this directive to Peter. How many times do I have to do this? 7? Will that be enough? Well, apparently that doesn't reach the threshold of impact. And Jesus says, probably metaphorically, 70 times 7. That there's a level to which you have to persist at this in order for it to make a difference. Well, what is the threshold of impact for forgiveness? I mean, at what point do you simply become a doormat? That isn't good either. Well, it seems to me that with regard to forgiveness, you've reached the threshold of impact when you feel in yourself a level of serenity. You know, it just isn't worth it anymore to hold this grudge, because who's really suffering? Because I'm at odds with this person or that group. Ultimately, it's me. And maybe it's time to take a breath and just let go. There are things that I cannot change. God grant me the serenity to accept things I cannot change. And we, by and large, cannot change other people. We can learn to cope. We can learn to deal with them when we have to. And we can most of all learn to no longer be further damaged by holding the grudge. The threshold of forgiveness is serenity. In many ways, to accept the things I cannot change and move forward in my life. Well, what difference does it make? It's one of the questions we sometimes address in my work and in my teaching. You know, we talk about so many seemingly intractable social problems. Healthcare, violence, problems with teenagers, the economy. What difference can any human make? Is there a threshold of impact for changing the world? Well, I think there is. I think there's a threshold of impact for generosity. Generosity of spirit, generosity of time, generosity even of financial contributions. This is the stewardship time of the year for most churches, and people begin to think about, well, what kind of a year it's been, what kind of issues the church is facing, and how might I How might I increase my level of generosity to make a difference in our ministry? Not just financially, but in the world. How might I more generously use my time for the benefit of other people? The threshold of generosity, the threshold of impact for generosity, is courage. When you begin to feel in yourself, you know what? There's a chance that I could leave it better than I found it. In this way, maybe with a financial legacy, or maybe with a renewed use of who God calls me to be. A sense of vocation emerges for all of us at baptism. What is it that the world needs doing that I can do? And how can I generously make that part of my day to change the world? Okay, we can't solve the illiteracy problem, but we can teach one child to read. The logic of that is what I would suggest increases the threshold of impact for our generosity. How might we take what we know how to do and metaphorically not solve the problem, but teach one child to read, or by extension, any of the other things that we can do, that God has given us gifts to share? The threshold of impact for generosity is courage to change the things I can. We can't change the world, but we can change the lives of a few, maybe just one, by being who we are with them. Of course, now the question becomes, who am I? And am I good enough? Well, that's an interesting question. Because the world will tell us that we aren't, by and large. And yet we have the opportunity to converse with the Prince of Peace. There is an impact for prayer on our lives. The threshold of impact for prayer is wisdom. Wisdom about ourselves, wisdom about how we belong, wisdom about to whom we belong, and how much that matters. What next might be the most heartfelt prayer we can bring to our conversation with God? What next when our youngest goes off to kindergarten, or 10 minutes later when they graduate from college, etc.? What next in my own changing relationship with the world? What next? Pray without ceasing, Jesus says, and wisdom will come unto you. Wisdom to know the difference between what I can change and what I cannot. And a lot of that goes inside our own heads. How we feel about what we might be about has a lot to do with how we feel about ourselves. And sometimes, well, we feel about ourselves somewhat ambiguously. One of the worst things I can do for my own head is get on the internet, go to other universities' sociology departments, and read their faculty's resumes. I don't know why I do that. Just got an article published. All I have to do is go to the University of Texas's website, which is a top 10 department in the country, read what my pal Chris Ellison has done. In less time, he's outpublished me 3-1. Why would I want to do that? I don't know. But Chris is a friend, and it's sometimes interesting to see what he's up to. But at the end of the day, I'm going, my gosh, it's just one little article in kind of a half-baked journal. What difference does that make? Well, the wisdom that can emerge from that, maybe even through prayer, is the insight that God has invited me to converse with him. Why would God want to talk to me if I wasn't worth at least a little, you know? And God does. And here's the insight that comes with conversing with, in prayer, the one who made us unique. It's not a competition. I am not in competition with any other scholar to be anything other than who I am. There is no competition for me to be me. I'm the only one in the race. And there's no competition for you to be you. Through prayer, through conversation with the one who made us as we are for a specific reason, we can learn the answer to what next and develop the wisdom to know the difference between what we can change and what we can change. and cannot change. The threshold of impact for forgiveness is serenity. The threshold of impact for generosity is courage. And the threshold of impact for prayer is wisdom. Will you join me in that prayer? O Lord, grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen.